Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is our refuge and strength. O come, let us worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Oh, come, let us worship. Reading from the book of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. To you that hear prayer shall all flesh come, because of their transgressions. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you will blot them out. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation. O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the seas that are far away, You make fast the mountains by your prayer. They are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples. Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wisdom freed from a nation of oppressors, a holy people, and a blameless race. She entered the soul of a servant of the Lord, withstood dread kings with wonders and signs. To the saints she gave the reward of their labors, and led them by a marvelous way. She was their shelter by day and their starlight through the night. She brought them across the Red Sea, led them through mighty waters. But their enemies she swallowed in the waves and spat them out from the depths of the abyss. Lord, the righteous sang hymns to your name and praised with one voice your protecting hand. For wisdom opened the mouths of the dumb and gave speech to the tongues of babes. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, we hear no less than 7 different parables spread over the next 3 Sundays in the Revised Common Lectionary. The word parable is derived from a Greek word which means to throw alongside. Parables are helpful because they take a hard to understand concept like the kingdom of God and lay down alongside it something that is easily relatable from real life. In Jesus' day, he used images like farming and fishing. Sometimes a parable is simply a simile. The kingdom of God is like. Other times they are long drawn out metaphors. It is worth noting that Jesus tells us precisely what we are to do with parables. In verses 7 to 10, the section we skipped over today, Jesus' disciples who are obviously confused by the parable of the sower, but don't want Jesus to know, ask him, "Why do you talk to the people in parables?" He responds with a fairly long answer, which I will sum up as, "Because I want people to listen, to see, and to think." Jesus doesn't hand us a blueprint of the kingdom of God, but instead invites us to take our part in the larger building project. Through parables, he gives us an idea of what the finished product is supposed to look like. And then he challenges us to use our brains and our talents to create it. Unlike building from a set of plans, this way of building the kingdom is sometimes sloppy and may require some tearing down and starting over. But it is empowering. As children of God, we are invited to take what we learn from Jesus and to mold it into something that is good and life-giving. And so in the reading for today, we are given the gift of the parable of the sower and invited to think about how to build the kingdom of God with it. As with all parables, there can be many ways of interpretation and levels of understanding. It is clear that this story is not meant to be taken literally. That is obvious in the parable of the sower. Jesus is not describing a new way of farming in the kingdom of God. Any farmer worth his salt would know that you don't turn on the seed spreader when you leave the barn and let it just fling seed all down the road onto the shoulder and into the drainage ditches. In order for plants to grow, the soil first has to be cultivated. Good soil is nutrient rich. It has to be fertilized. It needs good irrigation and drainage, and it mustn't have too little or too much sunlight. Jesus interprets his own parable allegorically in the second half of today's reading. Allegory often makes sense of the story for us, but clearly there are times when it represents only the beginning of understanding. In the case of this parable, God is the sower, and the word is the seed, and we are the soil. Jesus even goes so far as to tell us what kind of person each particular kind of soil represents. The hard-hearted path doesn't understand the word. The shallow, rocky soil won't allow faith to take root. the unprepared, weed-infested soil will choke our faith, and the good soil allows the word to flourish. It all seems simple and straightforward enough. But the complete picture the parable is trying to paint for us is much larger and broader. I think allegory can sometimes make it seem too easy or simple or one-dimensional. Parables should open our minds to ideas we have not considered before, and they do that when we allow them to unfold. A singular allegorical interpretation, though simple and quite tempting, can sometimes lead to a common problem. That issue is moralism. From the time we first hear the parable of the three pigs as children, we are conditioned to find the moral in every story. Build your house of bricks. Don't cry wolf. Slow and steady wins the race. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. And for goodness sakes, be good soil. Having heard the description of the four different types of soil, we can't help but put these words onto the lips of Jesus. Be good soil. But in reality, he never actually says that. He never says, be good soil, because that is not the totality of what the parable of the sower is all about. It may be part of what it is about, but not entirely. We perhaps should be good soil, so the word can take hold. But that is not the whole story. And I'm not suggesting that we should be bad or infertile soil. We may feel that our spiritual soil is not the best, that we have some work to do, that we are not as receptive as we need to be. And well, that's the case for most of us, I suspect. We may even sometimes think that our lives are like a worn footpath, or rocky soil, or full of weeds. We may at times even believe that there is little or no hope of anything positive or holy taking root in our spiritual lives. In fact, I think this parable is saying precisely the opposite. First of all, none of us is all one type of soil. Each of us has all four kinds of soil in our hearts. And despite all the talk about soils, the parable of the sower isn't really about dirt at all. The parable of the sower is, as its name implies, really about the sower. The story is a description of our prodigal God. God knows it is foolish to spread seed on unworthy soil, but he does it anyway. God spreads his love with reckless abandon in hearts that are at once all four different types of soil. He throws seed at the disciples who over and over and over again prove that they have hard hearts, stiff necks, and dim minds. Jesus continues to throw seed at them, continues to work with them, and continues to help them see what God is up to in the world around them. He scatters the seed of the gospel with wild extravagance and lavish abundance. And even when it is clear that his disciples just don't get it, when they turn him over to the authorities, abandon him in his hour of need, and deny even knowing him, Jesus continues to pour out his love on them by inviting them back into the fold after the resurrection. God's love for us is extravagant and beyond our limited human comprehension. As we continue in the proud, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and dim-mind tradition of the disciples, as we seek morals in our stories that have none, as we ignore morals in stories that call us to action, as we neglect to build the kingdom and instead focus on building ourselves, as we show again and again why we need forgiveness, and we forget again and again to give it, the good news is this: God continues to throw seed at us. He pours out his love upon us relentlessly. And when he finds even the smallest patch of good soil in our hearts, he nurtures the kingdom within us, producing an abundant harvest, 30, 60, even 100-fold. This parable is about God and his wildly extravagant love for us, and the infinite possibility of the seeds that are continually being planted in our hearts. That is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God.
Let us confess our faith as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Let us offer our prayers to the source of all love and life, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Let us ask the Lord for a day of fulfillment and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us ask the Lord to teach us to love others as he has loved us. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us ask the Lord for peace and justice in the world. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach us to use creation for your greater praise, that all may share the good things you provide. Lord, hear our prayer. Strengthen all who give their energy or skill for the healing of those who are sick, in body or in mind. Lord, hear our prayer. Set free all who are bound by fear and despair. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant a peaceful end and eternal rest to all who are dying, and your comfort to those who mourn. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us ask the Lord to renew the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come, see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Pray with one accord.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.